So I'm pumped up about today. At least I think five people stayed the whole sermon in the first service. So that's good news. It's not too bad, I guess. Anyway, I'm glad you're all here. And we've been talking, me and Doug and Sam, about what message can we send? What can we say on Youth Sunday? And we had all these strategies like, okay, Doug's going to talk for 6 minutes, and then Ethan's going to talk for seven, and then Sam for four, and all these things. So this is what's going to get them. This is what's going to be exciting. This is what we can tell them. What story? And we came to the conclusion last night, we're like, this is simple. We've got the Bible. We've got a lot of better stories in there than we have. So let's just go straight out of that. Let's go out of Acts, what we're talking about here. And it's Acts is the story of people. Now that Jesus has ascended to heaven, let's live this thing out. Let's go do it. And they're doing it. So I'm really excited. We're going to go over the story of Stephen today. It's Acts 7, the stoning of Stephen. So if you're coming for a lighthearted message, no dice. I apologize. But it is a powerful story. And so let me pray, and then we'll get into this. God, thank you for the youth of this church and getting to put on a service today and what you're doing in Laguna Beach. And I pray that the power of the story of Stephen would resonate in everyone's heart here, God, that we will hear your words. Holy Spirit, would you speak through me? Would your words be heard, not mine? And we give this up to you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so Stephen, it's a radical story. It's uncomfortable. It's extreme. It's intense. And sometimes we might shy away from those stories because they're hard to process. They're tough to read, but that's what the Christian faith is. We're radical and we're intense. And what we know about Stephen is he was a spirit-filled man. It says in Acts 6:5, that the disciples chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And so what's going on here is the disciples are out being missionaries. They're proclaiming the good news. And there's people that speak Greek. Grecian Jews, and these disciples don't speak Greek, so they're having trouble communicating. So they get guys like Stephen that are fired up, that are full of the Spirit, and those guys are going to go speak to the Grecian Jews. And so Stephen's one of these guys, and you know that this story isn't a one-day thing for him, that his life is Spirit-filled, that he is living for God. We know that he's young. It describes him as having a face like an angel, and all the paintings and things I've seen of him, he's baby-faced. He's very young, and I think that's cool because it's Youth Sunday, and we've got a bunch of baby-faced people here. I'm 22, believe it or not. But anyway, so we've got all these kids here right now that are living for God right now, and there's passion in this church, in this youth ministry, and so this story is inspiring because it's a guy our age doing something so incredible. And so we know that he also reads this. He knows his scripture. He read the Old Testament or whatever the scriptures were of the time. He gives 47 verses before where we're going to start to the Sanhedrin. He's telling them the story of them, the Israelites, Jewish history, Moses, all those stories. And he goes through all that. So clearly he's been getting away on his own with God, learning about him, praying with him, becoming a man after God's heart. And he's built a relationship with him. So he's this guy. He's a normal human being that's following Christ. And I think it's very powerful because he's speaking in front of the Sanhedrin, the very men that persecuted and killed Jesus. And Stephen is now in front of them, a guy following him, so following Jesus. So let's start, verse 48, Acts 7:48. However, the Most High does not live in houses made by human hands. He's talking to them about worship, about the temple. He says, as the prophet says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord, or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? And he's looking at him saying, you're missing it. You know, before there was these rules, before there was, we had to go to the temple in Jerusalem to be around God, but it's not like that. Jesus came, he broke the barrier. He's the bridge. And there's this quote, even though Stephen upholds the importance of the Jewish law and worship, he marginalizes it. Oh, I got the wrong page. Sorry. Implying that neither land, law, nor the temple are the center of worship. Christ is the center. And so he's telling them, you're missing it here. Jesus is now the center of worship. And he goes on, verse 51. You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was given through angels but have not obeyed it. And he's harsh to them. And it sounds like he's talking down to them, saying, how are you so dull? How are you so dumb to miss this? But I don't think that's entirely what he's saying here. I think he's telling them, I want you guys to know what I know. This is the truth. This Jesus guy was who he said he was. And he died and he rose again. And I want you very people, you religious leaders, to know this. And he's pointing out, you know, in the past, all these guys that said Jesus was coming, your forefathers, they persecuted them. And this is no different. And now you're doing it to me. And when the members of the Sanhedrin, verse 54, heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. Gnashing of teeth. That's harsh. They're furious. They're angry. And I think more than anything, they're fearful at what he's saying. Like, if this is right, and we are and we're wrong, then what we're doing here, this establishment, is completely turned on its head. And we've come to this point where this Jesus guy's not going away. Because I don't see Jesus, but I see a ton of people that are still talking about him, still proclaiming the good news, claiming that he is that Messiah, that he came to save us. And they're uncomfortable. They're uncircumcised hearts, as he describes them. They're churning with this Jesus concept. And so Stephen's probably starting to realize, I'm not getting out of here. I'm going against what these guys believe, and they're the officials. I'm not going to make it out today. Verse 55, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And what a powerful, powerful thing right there. He looks up. His eyes are above. He's in a moment where, you know, you'd think you'd be thinking so much about yourself that my life flashes before my eyes and all this is going to hurt and all this is so much about me, and yet his eyes are above. He's looking to God, even in the darkest time of his life. He's realizing, he's knowing that Jesus is there. And the word standing, Jesus is standing. And a lot of the times we hear that Jesus is referred to as sitting at the right hand of God. Here, Jesus is standing, and there's different ideas about why that is. Is Jesus pleading Stephen's case as that intercessor, that bridge between man and God, or is he standing to welcome Stephen into his presence? What is it? And I was talking to my friend about this word standing here, and he's like, I don't know exactly what it means, but I just think it's awesome that Jesus himself is so fired up, so passionate, looking down, saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. He's standing. Welcome to my presence. You are following me, and you love me, and I love you. And it's so cool to know that Jesus stands for us too, that he's there working for us the same way that he did for Stephen. Verse 57, at this they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. So under Roman law, Stephen should have got a trial or something more formal than this, but they just drag him out and kill him. And I think that shows, again, that fear in these men that this Jesus thing is moving. And we got to quiet it as quick as we can. So they just kill him right there. They're covering their ears and yelling because Jesus told them, I will be at the right hand of God. And Stephen's just said, I see it. It's happened. Look up there. And so they drag him out. And while they're stoning him, verse 59, while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. Having trouble with these notes here. Stephen's life has reflected Jesus. He's been following after what Jesus taught. He's been reading the scripture. He's been praying. He's been spirit-led, just like Jesus was. And his death reflects it in the same way. He dies praying for forgiveness for these men that are killing him. And you'd think, you'd be like, oh, I want justice brought to these guys. I want something bad to happen to them. And he's like, no, it's bigger than this. Because he's telling them, how have you been so blind when eternity is at stake here? You're focused on the rules and the little things of this earth. And there is eternity at stake. And that's what I want you guys to know. Is he wants them to know eternity is at stake here. And last Sunday, I was at Rock Harbor, a cool church some of us go to. And during the sermon, my mind's kind of wandering around, as probably half of yours are, and I'm thinking about myself. I'm thinking like, oh, after church, I gotta, you know, go do this tonight, and then this is gonna be a busy week. We've got Youth Sunday next week, and gotta come up with all this stuff. And then I'll tune in for a second and hear a good word from the pastor who's talking about the church, you know. So I'm like, okay, am I being a good member of the church? Am I helping push these this youth of Laguna in the right way. And it's me. And the whole sermon, I'm thinking about me. And then he prays at the end, the pastor, and he says, you know, there's people in this room, and today is their day. Today is your day to finally join the kingdom of God, to give your life to Christ. This is it. And if you're feeling that, if the Spirit's resonating in you, then stand up. And all our eyes are closed, and we're praying. And then you can sense people are standing up, and you're just my mind starts shifting, and I'm like, why have I been thinking about myself so much? And he lets us open our eyes, and there's people scattered around the room standing up. And he says, if somebody near you is standing up, put a hand on them and pray for them, because they've just joined our family. And I thought, I focus so much about not sinning or doing the right things or reading my Bible for 30 minutes a day, all these do's and all the don'ts, all the things I shouldn't do. And yet, eternity is at stake here. There's people in this room that need to hear the truth of who Jesus was. And that's what Stephen's saying. This is bigger than me. This is bigger than you guys. This is Jesus. This is eternal life. And it's not what we do. It's not what we say. It's not what we don't do. It's that. It's not about what we've done. It's about what's been done for us. And now we see in Acts 8, the first few verses, the effects of Stephen and essentially of Jesus. It says, and Saul approved of their killing him. In verse 1, Saul, who we know becomes Paul. And there's a quote that says, if Stephen had not prayed, the church would not have had Paul. I've never thought of that before, that he prays right there, looking at Saul, saying, this guy needs to know. This guy needs that truth just as much, if not more than anyone else. And look who Saul turned into. That prayer was answered on the road to Damascus. And how many books, how much encouragement and words do we have because of that prayer? Because of this man who saw the bigger picture. As we go on. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. And it's courageous that they're mourning for him publicly, because that was forbidden by law to publicly mourn someone killed for blasphemy. And these guys are saying, no, we're not listening to you guys right now, because you've got it wrong. This guy had it right, and we're going to honor him. And now we're going out, and we're going to do the same thing. But Saul, verse 3, began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Interesting that Saul, the man right now who is trying to destroy the church, turns out to be one of the biggest people to build it because of this day. And we also hear that those who had been, they've been scattered. And so all these officials are freaked out. They're like, this Jesus thing, this movement, these guys, they won't stop. So let's get them out of here. Get them out of the center of everything. So no longer is Christianity held in one town. No longer is Jerusalem the place to be. It's going around the world now. They're scattered that day. And now we've got missionaries around the world. You know, and we've seen the fruition of that till today. You know, there's people around the world proclaiming this good news. And this is a day where this started. There's an awesome, awesome quote. The blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. I think that applies pretty well to Stephen, pretty well to this story. And it's a guy who had the courage and who had the Holy Spirit leading him. And he had that urgency of Christ. This is so important, this eternal life, this relationship with me. And Paul goes on in his letters, he talks about imitating Christ, sacrifice, suffering. And you got to believe Stephen's been in his head for his whole life since this day thinking, wow. That guy, he was going for it. And I'm going for it too now. And when we're talking about martyrdom is not the point of this. We're not telling all these kids, you know, go find your way to get martyred, because that's not what it's about. And martyrs, they are all over the world. There's people being killed for Jesus. But not everyone is called to that. Not everyone is called to go live in another country. You know, there's a calling right here. And it's not necessarily giving your life up physically that we're talking about. It is for Stephen, but for us, it's just giving our earthly lives up to him and saying, you make this yours. Not mine, but your will. And Paul says, for you died, and your life is now with Christ and God. We are dead to the things of the past. We are dead to the sin that held us down, because it's not about us. And that's the beautiful thing of this story, is it's not about Stephen. It's about Jesus. Ultimately, It's a guy who followed his calling. And we can sit here and I do this and think like, wow, Stephen, that guy, he's up here like, Jesus, Stephen, and I'm somewhere in here. But Stephen was a man just like me, just a human being like all of you. And he just went for it. He let the Spirit lead him. And there's principles in this story that we're trying to get into the kids that they're doing. And it's awesome. Read Scripture. You know, Stephen knew it well. Read the Scripture and read what Jesus said. Pray powerfully and boldly with the faith that God will deliver, because he does. Look at this story. Look at Paul. A prayer answered. And how many prayers answered are in this room right now? And sometimes we pray and we're like, I don't know if this is it. I don't know if God can really, you know, deliver here. When we pray boldly, God delivers. And I could sit up here all day and tell you stories like that. He lives with the Holy Spirit leading him. I think that's something we overlook a lot. And that's in Acts, in this whole story. The Holy Spirit leads him, not himself. He imitates Christ. He's bold when he speaks, even to those who persecute him. He prays for them. So, you know, what do you do with a story that's, you know, far away in time, and it's, you know, different, and we're not in a place where we're necessarily going to be killed for our faith here? What's the challenge here? And for you high schoolers, middle schoolers, who are awesome, look at this guy. He was probably younger than me, and he just sold out for God. He said, not my earthly life. These little things that I'm worried about, this me, I'm worried about other people knowing what I know. And youth is not a crutch, and it's not an excuse. You know, because we're young, it doesn't mean that we can't do anything. Look at Stephen. That's made clear. You know, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. It's in the Bible. And it's not an excuse to say, well, I'm young, I don't know, I'll get it one day. You know, when I'm 22, I'll probably be there. That's not what it's about, because we're never going to fully get it. There's people in this room that are much older than 22 that are still working. It's every day. But we find these principles, read the Bible, pray, and those are all important. And in the end, the ultimate importance is that relationship with Jesus, that he's standing there fighting for you, proud of you, wanting you to follow his example. And for those of you that are parents, that are in this community that aren't in the youth ministry, it's the same call for you. And maybe today, just hearing the story of Stephen, of a man of sacrifice, and seeing all the smiles on these kids' faces praising our God, that's the shot in the arm that you needed, because this city needs it. This place needs it. There's revival happening here, and I've seen it. I'm from the outside, and I came in, and I'm seeing powerful things happen. I'm seeing God move, and we are the church. We are these people. We are Stephens. People to give our lives up and fight for the ultimate cause, because we cannot be short-sighted to this world when there is eternity at stake, when there is this cross right here. And I'm going in January, leaving to do mission work for a year, and it's awesome. I'm excited, and I've had a lot of people, Christian people even, say, wow, that's great. It's so cool that you can really go all out for God, because, you know, you're in that time of your life. And I'm like, how sad is that? If that's what we believe, that because I'm 22, I can go do this because I don't have a wife and kids, I can really live for God. And so, if, you know, you do have a wife or kids, well, then it's different for you. You know, maybe you can't go around the world, but your calling is here in this church in Laguna Beach.
Yes.
I like that. And there's principles here, there's things to learn, but the ultimate fact is, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, Jesus gave his life up for you, and you are to go and proclaim that good news so other people can come to know him. Because it's not about us. We put God first, we put others second, and those are the instructions. And so, I was talking to my mom about leaving for this mission trip, and I'm like, are you scared? Like, are you scared that I'm going to be, you know, around the world? Is it freak you out? She goes, man, Ethan, she probably didn't say man, but she's, especially if you knew my mom, but she says, when you were born, I prayed a prayer to God and said, this is my son, but he's your son first. And I think the sacrifice of that is pretty amazing, because yeah, it's crazy to think about, would I give my life up for Jesus? Will I do this? It's crazy to think about a mom saying, I'll give my son up for him. And that is inspiring to me. That inspires me to say, forget it. God gave this to me, and I'm going to go use it for whatever he's asking me to do. And I pray that this church, that every single one of you find that too, that you get in your scripture, that you pray powerfully and boldly, knowing God will deliver, knowing that he changes hearts. And you look to the youth of this church, because they're leaders. You know, they're rising up. There's powerful things happening on Tuesday, Thursdays, Sundays, at our events. Kids that are getting it, and it's simple, and they're talking to their friends, and they're excited. I heard one girl showed up to Refuge. I'm like, how'd you know about it? And she's like, oh, Noah Blanton kept putting the sticker on my binder every day. And he said if he was going to do it until I showed up, so I decided to show up. And she's come every week since. Yeah. You know? There's inspiring things happening. And this story of Steve is it's inspiring of a young person. And these kids are inspiring. And so we filmed him last Sunday asking him, you know, what's God doing in your life? What has he done to change your heart, to bring you to him? And all these cool stories. And interviewed all of these beautiful young faces. And we put them together in a video, and I think it does more justice than I can do to tell you. But let me pray, and then we'll watch this. Dear God, thank you for Stephen. Thank you for this story of a guy who was after you, who lived like you, Jesus, who wanted so badly for everyone else to know what he knew. And I pray that you give us that same passion, God. Wherever we're at, God, young or old, new to this or in it for years and years, God, I pray that you'll give us the passion, give us the drive. God, show us what you want to do with us. Open your scripture to us. God, make us powerful people for you, because we see the power of prayer. We see your Holy Spirit and what you can do and how it's changed this world. God, and I pray that we will have eternal mindsets. God, I thank you for the church here. I thank you for the youth, and pray your blessing on them. God, and we give the rest of this up to you. Amen.